Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show, sharing our social media sites. That is such a blessing. I really appreciate you guys. I don't take it for granted. You could be listening to tons of other podcasts, but you choose to listen to this one. And I just think that is really special. Thank you so much. Today, we are going to talk about how tech will create affordable housing. You may be looking around, depending on what area you're living in, and thinking, wow, prices are crazy. Someone should do something about that. Well, as we move into this digital economy, we have a lot of great technology coming down the pipe that is going to help solve this crisis. Believe it or not, without the government, it's amazing. Before we get into that, we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, become a member, put in HTBT, like it says on this mug, in the memo field, and you will get this free mug. And you'll get tons of other benefits. There's so much great stuff coming out that is out already for you to access, like the Shotgun Worldview series, Toby's Proverbs series, and so much more. I can't wait to get in on that action and get some of my own content in there. But more than the stuff that you get, because it's just stuff, you get to be part of what the Lord is doing on this network, growing the show, growing all the other shows, as we are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life, in business, in politics, in art, in storytelling, in economics, and you get to be part of it. It's so cool. It's such a blessing to be part of what the Lord's doing, no matter what it is. And so you too get a chance to be part of that. You come alongside of us, becoming a member helps us being able to buy new equipment, to bring on new shows, to do more of the club content. That is what we need you for. That is how the Lord will use you with subscribing to that content. So think about that, fightlaughfeast.com. Fight Laugh Feast Network, or it's flfnetwork.com, and subscribe. Don't forget that HTBT code to get the free mug on top of the other stuff that you get. If you have any questions, comments, reach out to me. How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. I love hearing from you guys. I think I respond to at least a bunch of emails. I don't even know how much, every day. And I was just thinking, if I didn't have a day of responding to emails, I would be really sad. It's like been part of my life, doing this every day for 135 shows now. It like kind of grows on you and just becomes part of your life. So please reach out to me. Love to hear from you. And thank you for those of you who have listened from the beginning, 130-ish shows. That's pretty amazing. Don't forget about this business plan contest. If you have any questions about that, you can look on episode 90, see the official rules in the show notes. You can give me an email and I can talk to you about that. Coming down the stretch to the last part, make sure that you are staying diligent, that you're not getting behind, and that you are just plowing away piece by piece, day by day. Don't procrastinate. You're going to really regret it. Don't do that. Today, we are going to talk about how tech will create affordable housing, and we have a great clip of Maria Bartiromo and good old Ben Carson.
It's Icon, the Austin-based construction company. It's using 3D printing to build homes. Joining me now is Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson, who will tour the Austin 3D printed house later today. Secretary, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
I think Ben Carson's a very low energy person. Actually, I think Ben Carson is lower energy than Jeb.
I just love Ben Carson. I mean, he's a great guy, super smart, has a great story of coming out of nothing. The American dream right now. He was in a presidential candidate, which is what that clip from Trump's about. And now he is over HUD, which we don't really need HUD, but to be able to lead a department of the national government, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, you've had to climb your way up. Nothing against him, but man, is he sleepy. Oh man, what do they call him? Sleepy Ben? Is that what Donald Trump called him? Anyways, I made sure to cut this up, break this up, so that you wouldn't fall asleep either. And then the other thing I just wanted to say is How much does this make you look forward to 2020? Oh my goodness. Donald Trump in those primaries was hilarious against Hillary is hilarious. Can't imagine what is going to be like him going up against, I don't know, who would it be, Joe Biden or some other socialist? I don't know, we'll see. But anyways, that makes me really look forward to 2020.
We have an affordable housing crisis. So what we have to do is update what we do and start thinking out of the box.
Now, say what you will about Ben being sleepy and whatnot, but I really appreciate this about the government. It's really a culture in the government to kind of just check out, and you get the job that you want, you get the position that you want, and or you get a job and you got your nice retirement all situated with your pension, and you can't really get fired because no one can fire you. It's like ridiculously hard to get fired in the government. And there's just this culture of lackadaisical thinking and lackadaisical effort, and you just don't care about being innovative because there's no financial incentive for it. As long as you are there putting in the hours, then you're going to get those benefits like we've talked about before. And I like what Ben has been doing. Again, we don't really need HUD, but if it's going to be there, to have innovative ways of thinking using technology that is going to come out, which is what we're going to get to in a second, I really appreciate that about Ben Carson.
This kind of technology actually is able to print a house, believe it or not, in a short period of time for amazingly little money. And, you know, there are other types of technologies that are coming along in terms of building materials to make them much more resilient.
What he's talking about is the company that came out with 3D printing of homes. Now, you might start to see how this is going to be the solution to creating affordable housing. But let me give you some statistics. This company is a prototype, if you will, was able to build a house in less than 48 hours for $10,000. And they said that it could actually be turned up faster to build a house in 11 hours. And it's a two-bedroom, one-bath house. Now, again, this is a prototype. This technology is early on, which is exciting because if a prototype can build a house in 11 hours for $10,000, just imagine what version 2, 3, 4, 100 are going to be able to do. It's really exciting. Now, it's not including utilities and the land. So it does really, you know, bump up the price a bit. The land's probably the most expensive thing, depending on, again, where you live, I guess. I'm coming from California and live in Hawaii. So that might be a little different for you if you're in the Midwest or something like that. But just imagine being able to build a building, a house to live in for $10,000, and all of the implications that means. And we're going to get into these in a bit. Now, I want to do an exercise because, again, one of the ways for you to be successful is to have a mind shift and to continually be finding opportunities by when you come across them throughout your day and thinking about how can you exploit them, for lack of a better word, or leverage them is probably a more positive way to say it, to grow your wealth. And so we're going to do an exercise with just this scenario. So we have this 3D printing capability that's coming out. Let's just assume that it is out to market and you can order your house for your building, your two-bedroom, one-bath, for $10,000 plus land plus electricity, all of those things that just included in it. What are the possible ways that you could use this to grow your wealth? And if you need to pause this podcast to stop, think about it, come up with a list of ideas, do that. I'm not gonna like play the Jeopardy music, which I heard Alex Trebek has cancer. Oh, that's so sad. That's another guy that I hear is really smart. He doesn't even like look at his cards for the answers. He like knows all the answers to every Jeopardy question. I don't know if that's true or not, but man, that would be pretty impressive if it was. So what are the ways that this technology you could use to grow your wealth? What could you do? How can you use it? What are some businesses? What are some ideas, some processes that you could do to grow your wealth with this? I know a lot of you have emailed me about what can you do with a small sum of money. Well, I guess small is a relative term, isn't it? But with like $10,000, $20,000 to invest in things. Well, here's a great opportunity. And this two-bedroom, one-bath house is about $10,000 plus. Probably it'll probably be like, you know, probably $15,000-$20,000 with the permits and things like that, and then the land, which you can get a loan for because land is pretty stable in value. So what can you do? Now, another exercise after you resume the show, if you were doing this, is what technologies that exist already could you combine with this opportunity to grow your wealth? A bonus question, if you will. What could you use with existing technologies, existing companies to pair it with this new invention, this new ability of 3D printing homes to grow your wealth? Now, maybe on its own, you can just buy it and it's really cheap and rent it out to low-income families, or maybe they're not low-income families and just need a small house. Maybe it's a bachelor at a college campus or a college city. But when you start comparing it with other technologies, that's where it gets really interesting. And something that you need to be thinking about as well, not only do you, should you have a mindset of looking for opportunities in all of the different discussions, the ideas, the people you meet in your life through the day, but what technologies could you pair with? What other businesses and other industries could you couple with what is in this real estate opportunity of 3D printing houses? Maybe it's Airbnb. What if you had a lot of land, you can get a lot of land, and buy like five of these and have like a little bed and breakfast? $50,000 could you get you a two bedroom, one bath, five units for two bedroom, one bath. And you could rent them out. You can have a bed and breakfast. Maybe it's on the beach. It could be a whole tour business that you start for as little as $50,000. And if you look at how much, depending on the area you're at again, of how much money you can make per night, that might be a pretty good opportunity to leverage and something you may want to think about. Hey, a little freebie for you. But I've thought about that with other kinds of property, but this is even more attractive. This is really interesting what this technology is going to bring. And just imagine what other evolution or not revolutionary things are going to happen as this technology evolves and gets better and better.
This could be a tremendous advantage to us after a natural disaster where multiple homes are destroyed. You think about what happened last week in Alabama and the ability to now come in and produce.
This brings up a great point also about the fallacy, the broken window fallacy by a French economist, Batista. And in his tale, I'm just going to read this little section. A man's son breaks a pane of glass, meaning the man will have to pay to replace it. The onlookers consider the situation and decide that the boy has actually done the community a service because his father will have to pay the window repairman to replace the broken pane. The window repairman will then presumably spend the extra money on something else, jumpstarting the local economy. Now, you may have heard this before. I've heard this before that it's actually good to see this destruction because it actually stimulates the economy. This argument has been used in a number of different ways as this fallacy, going to war, so a lot of different areas. And there's just a bunch of holes in it that this great economist points out. And one of them is that this repair of the broken window, or whatever it is, in this case it would be homes, is not an expenditure that grows the economy, that grows the wealth of a community, but it's a maintenance expense. That is, it's a replacement. And what's happening with a maintenance expense is it's reducing the amount of money that this business has left over. It cuts into their profits. And what do you do with profits? We've talked about this numerous times before. You spend it on other items, you invest in it, some other consumption needs. You may buy shoes with it. And when you have less of that money, you're gonna have less to invest, less to buy new products, which is what grows the economy and creates wealth. So you're not just limiting the income or the disposable income, the profits of this guy who owns the shop whose window is broken that he has to pay to replace it, but you're also impacting the third party of who he would have spent that money on instead. And that person is going to be missing out on revenue. And in fact, it makes us all poorer. So I love what Ben Carson is doing. I call him Ben. I like the name Ben. No disrespect. I really respect the guy, honestly. Mr. Ben Carson I love that he's looking at this technology to help rebuild areas of disaster, because what you're doing is cutting costs. And that's one of the best ways to increase profit. And in this case, in the federal government sense, it's to retain wealth. You're not spending as much tax money on rebuilding and giving financial aid. If you can, build these houses at a fraction of the price. Just imagine being able to rebuild a city in months instead of years because of how fast they can build buildings and for the price that they are building it. It's just amazing the possibilities that could happen. And maybe you're in the construction business, the home building business, you want to look in this technology too to be able to leverage it further and to increase profits for your company as well. Maybe get some government contracts with HUD to repair these places just like in Alabama.
Looking at these kinds of things, I think we have an opportunity to make a real dent in the affordable housing crisis.
Now, this is where he talks about how we can put a dent in the affordability crisis of homes. And I just love this because this is a great example of why capitalism is amazing. And it shows, it reveals the negatives as well as the positives. Now, the negatives are obviously the home builder jobs that are going to be lost. The more that 3D printing takes over the traditional role of a home builder, it's going to impact the people that work in that industry, and they're gonna have to find new jobs. And that is the pain point of this example. But with capitalism, there's always two P's. And depending on if you're pro-capitalism or anti-capitalism, you're gonna focus on one of two of the P's, the pain or the prosperity. So the pain is that workers are going to lose their jobs because you don't need as many workers to build a home anymore. And a lot of those are low-skilled workers, which is another red flag with how much immigration we're bringing into this country, which is low-skilled laborers. We're quickly shedding low-skilled labor jobs as being replaced by technology, and we're bringing in a bunch of low-skilled workers. What could go wrong? Thank you, federal government and Congress, for not doing anything. Completely different show. So that is the pain of capitalism, but there's also the prosperity of gospel. Now, this is going to be really cool. Now, this is just the possibility of where this can go, this one technology. Now, remember, in our capitalist society, there's thousands, millions of these ideas and technologies that are coming out, being reinvented, being innovated on, coming out with new versions. Just taking this one prototype of building a two-bedroom, one-bath house for $10,000. Let's just say it's $30,000 for all the electricity and the square footage for the house. You break up the lot to be fitting just that two-bedroom, one-house. Let's just say, for argument's sake, $30,000. It could be more, it could be less. I didn't really go into the details, but I just want to really paint the picture of the prosperity capitalism brings. Again, there is pain, and I'm not dismissing that. There is a reallocation of resources that is happening, and just this happens to be the resources of labor. But this is the other P, the prosperity. Imagine if this technology was rolled out and majority of homes were this $30,000. Now, let's say it costs $30,000 to build the house, but you sold it for $70,000. The average house cost about $170,000 a year. I believe last time I checked, that was last year I saw those statistics. $170,000 to buy a house. Now, with this technology, let's fast forward, let's say 10 to 15 years, and all future homes are now sold for $70,000. Now, a home is the most expensive purchase a person will make in America. Buying a house. Not too many people buy anything else for $170,000. Now imagine if everyone just spent $70,000 instead of $170,000. What would you do, you being an American, the public, with an extra $100,000? The most expensive purchase of your life just went down $100,000. Now think about what you would do with that $100,000. Well, you could invest in the stock market. You could invest in a small business. You could invest in your own business. You could buy another house and rent it out. You can buy three houses and rent them out because you can get loans for all of those. And just that you see the multiplier of why capitalism is so powerful, because it allows for people to be motivated by profit, to come out with technologies like this that will benefit society as a whole and be able to create wealth like almost overnight, 15 years at most, or 15, 20 years even. That is a speck of time in just the scheme of things, and be able to reduce the most expensive purchase by $100,000. And that's where things get exciting. I think there is so much opportunity with technology. As long as politicians don't get in the way, as long as the Federal Reserve doesn't get in the way, there are so many exciting things that are coming. It's the new industrial revolution. It's the digital economy. It's the digital revolution. And we haven't even touched all the potential with AI, with the Internet of Things, that is going to explode the wealth in our country. The P&P of capitalism. There's the pain and the prosperity. They are joined together. You cannot separate them. It is unfair to talk about one without the other, but the prosperity is always exponentially greater than the pain. And that is how America became so great. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I can't wait to talk to you next week. Have a great Lord's Day, have a great Sabbath, and have a relaxing time. God bless.
I think Ben Carson's a very low energy person.